Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Not a soul up ahead and nothing. Thursday afternoon, getting you through it here on the Mark Reardon Show. We have Jen Say coming up after the top of the hour. I love Jen so much. In fact, I am wearing my XXXY Athletics gear today. She is a USA champion gymnast, producer of the Emmy Award-winning documentary Athlete A on Netflix, but she is very outspoken on the trans athlete stories. There's been a lot of activity on that in the past couple of days, and we'll get with Jen after the top of the hour. Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's Rule podcast, later in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Congressman Bob Onder on the line right now. Bob, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great, Mark. Great to be back.
Well, I'm very curious about your position and your thoughts right now on the tariff situation. The president's actually right now on Air Force One answering questions about this. I admitted from the start of the show that I am a little nervous about this. We see what the markets are doing. I also said, look, you got to give some of this time to kind of work itself out. But you're a pretty smart guy on the economy. What do you think about all this right now?
Well, yeah, Mark, I do agree with both of those things you just said. I'm always a little worried about tariffs and the economic headwinds they can create. You know, look, in an ideal world, I think we would have free trade and at the same time fair trade. And of course, we know the markets are reacting to the economic uncertainty. You know, at the same time, I think there is evidence that some of Trump's attempt to use tariffs to get better deals, get more investment in the United States, are paying off. I mean, we know Stellantis announced a $5 billion investment in the United States in Illinois, Hyundai, $20 billion. Honda, it looks like, will be moving their production of their Civic Hybrid to Indiana. VW is looking at perhaps moving their Audi and Porsche brands to the United States. So there is, what I hope is that the tariffs are used to negotiate better deals. I think President Trump is right. In many cases, these partners, the trading partners of ours, have much higher not only tariff, but also non-duty barriers to entry, for instance, European restrictions on American cars than we do on their goods. I hope we can unwind some of that. And I think already, you know, Israel and Vietnam announcing that they are getting rid of tariffs on U.S. goods is great news. So it'll take some time to work its way out. There could be some pain in the meantime, though, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and you know, I understand. I think a lot of people might understand that. I would also say one of the things that makes me more nervous is just the timing of all this. I just saw a tweet from the Atlantic Fed. I think there's an expectation that in the first quarter we're going to be a negative growth. Now, I'm not tagging President Trump with that. That's, you know, residual from the last administration to a certain extent. But if you slip into two quarters, then you have a recession. I think there might be an expectation. And then the concern would be, well, does this make it worse, right? Does it exacerbate it?
Well, that is a concern. Now, I think the things that are going to happen that will get our economy going and help to lower inflation, because let's face it, tariffs on goods can raise prices. But several things we need to do. One is to lower the burden of regulation, and the Trump administration and Congress are very committed to that. We have already in the U.S. House undone something like a dozen Biden regulatory orders, executive orders. And number two, we can restore sound, sane energy policy and end this war on affordable energy that the Biden administration has waged. And energy, the cost of energy goes into everything we do, not just into our gas tanks, but food prices, durable goods prices, housing prices. And number three, we can create enormous economic certainty and confidence in the market by renewing the 2017 Trump tax cuts. And if we do it right with the big, beautiful reconciliation bill, we will at the same time lower spending, which will reassure our bond markets, our financial markets, that we are serious about getting the deficit and the debt under control. And that will reduce interest rates, reduce inflationary pressures as well. So there are a lot of things we can do right. But I am like you, afraid that the tariffs in the short term might create some economic headwinds.
So on the what's referred to as the big, beautiful bill, can you explain where that is right now in the status? The Senate has to move on something first, correct?
Well, that's right. So the big, beautiful bill refers to this arcane process known as reconciliation, which is basically a budget bill that involves so-called mandatory spending. And the deal is that if it's revenue neutral, we can get around the filibuster in the U.S. Senate, because very few people think the Democrats are going to work with us on this. So the hallmark of this bill is renewing the 2017 Trump tax cuts, as well as providing some changes in energy policy, money for border security. And in the House, the first step in that process is for the House and the Senate to pass budget resolutions to get this process started. The House already did that about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
The Senate still has to. So the Senate could take up and pass the House budget resolution. It doesn't look like that's what they're going to do. So the hope is that the Senate will pass a budget resolution shortly, and then the House will take a look and probably pass that resolution. So it's complicated. But then the real work starts, where each committee in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate will have to decide exactly what taxes are we renewing, what new tax cuts might there be, and what spending cuts do we need to make to make this all work out. So it's a complicated process. It's a tough process with narrow majorities. But I think with the president's leadership, I do think we get it done at the end of the day.
You and I have talked about this before, but I still think there's an overwhelming majority of people in the country that have no idea that if you guys don't act, their taxes are all going up.
Yeah, on average, 22% tax hikes for every American. This will be the largest tax increase in American history, a $4.5 trillion tax increase. And don't for a second believe any of the Democratic demagoguery that this is tax cuts for the rich. Every single American will see their taxes increase. The standard, you know, every tax bracket's interest rate, tax rate will increase. The standard deduction will go down. There will be increases in business taxes on small business, increase in the death tax. So, yeah, this affects every American if we don't get it done.
And, Bob, I hope that the media is honest in their coverage of that, and I don't have any expectation that they will be. Hey, I saw this yesterday. I wanted you to explain it. This is you in a committee hearing.
Our Democrat colleagues insist on repeating their misrepresentations about Medicaid. There are no Medicaid cuts. Where do they get the $880 billion figure they keep repeating? They get that because that's the total amount that the Energy and Commerce Committee is tasked with saving.
That's a situation where they like to use Washington math, right?
Yeah, exactly, Mark. So all this talk about Medicaid cuts, first of all, none of the reforms in Medicaid badly needs reform. I can tell you that from 30 years of practicing medicine, Medicaid badly needs reform. The money that the Energy and Commerce Committee needs to save. Now, the Energy and Commerce Committee can save at least $100 billion by getting rid of the Biden EV mandate. But let's assume, you know, $800 billion were all going to be taken out of Medicaid reforms. According to the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, over the next decade, Medicaid spending, instead of going up by $2.5 trillion, it would go by $1.7 trillion. And that's what I mean by Washington math. Only in Washington, D.C., does spending $1.7 trillion more amount to some sort of a draconian
it's
cut.
It's unbelievable. And again, there you have the media that goes right along with that and makes everything worse. Congressman Bob Onder is with us this afternoon. I want you, because I'm going to talk about this with, I mentioned Jen Tsai after the top of the hour. She has really been, along with Riley Gaines, a champion on some of these women's issues, especially with biological men competing against biological women. But you've introduced something called the No Harm Act, Bob. Explain what that is.
Yeah, the No Harm Act addresses a number of issues related to this cult, this sadistic cult known as gender ideology. Most Americans do not know that right now their tax dollars are going to poison and surgically mutilate children in the name of reassigning or changing their gender, their sex. And one of President Trump's day one executive orders was to cut off Medicare, Medicaid, and other government funds from paying for these ghoulish experiments on children. In addition, in some states, parents are being stripped of their parental rights when they're not going along with so-called gender transition. We also know that that some healthcare providers, because they don't want to participate in this, have lost their jobs. So we need to defund the transgender industry, at least with our tax dollars. We need to protect parents. We need informed consent. And at the end of the day, when these victims of this horrific ideology wake up, they need to be able to sue the quacks who subjected these harms on them. So the Do No Harm Act will do all of those things. And I really look forward to moving it through Congress.
I think you've had some things to say recently about the immigration efforts as well. Is there something along those lines that you introduced? Or am I?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, in the immigration space, we talk a lot about border security, of course. And we know that compared to the Biden administration's border crossing numbers, President Trump's numbers are down 95%. So we have dramatically reduced illegal immigration from border crossings, although about 42% of illegal immigration is from visa overstays, whether they be student visas, work visas, tourist visas. So the Timely Departure Act would crack down on that aspect of immigration, illegal immigration, and make sure there is accountability so that when people come to this country on various visas, that they do leave when they are supposed to. And if they want to stay, they can, of course, invoke various legal processes to try to get a green card or eventually citizenship.
My favorite story of the week, and I'm guessing you may have at least seen the headline, LA Times, California-Mexico border, once overwhelmed, now nearly empty. With so few migrants coming into the U.S., shelters that once served migrants have closed. This must be just accidental, because I was told repeatedly in the previous administration that it's Republicans, people like you, people like me, that stopped this. President Trump said don't do it because he just wanted the political victory. But lo and behold, it's magic, isn't it?
Remember when we were supposed to pass the Biden-Schumer amnesty bill that I believe it was something like a million illegal immigration, immigrant crossings before the president could shut down the border? Yeah, we were supposed to pass that ridiculous bill. That was the only way we were going to get the border situation under control. And yeah, magically, without passing that bill, Donald Trump has reduced the border crossings 95-98%, and really, and in addition, dramatically reduced human trafficking and fentanyl trafficking across the border.
Absolutely.
It's just awesome.
It is. Bob, thank you so much. Congressman Bob Onder, we'll talk again soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
I wanted to give a little bit more detail because I didn't do this a couple of days ago, and this is quite the story. It was from March 30th, so that would be what, Sunday? When the humanitarian aid workers decided to dismantle their elaborate tented setup erected right up against the border wall, they hadn't seen migrants for a month. A year earlier, when historic numbers of migrants were arriving at the border, we usually call them illegal migrants, right? The American Friends Services Committee, a national Quaker-founded human rights organization, came to their aid. Eventually, the group received enough donations to erect three canopies where it stored food, clothing, and medical supplies. But migrant crossings have slowed down to near halt, bringing a striking change to the landscape along the southernmost stretch of California. Shelters, Sue, that once received migrants have closed. Makeshift camps where migrants waited for processing are barren. This is the LA Times, remember. This is not the Wall Street Journal. This is the LA Times. And nonprofits have begun shifting their services to established immigrants in the U.S. who are facing deportation or migrants stuck in southern Mexico. While I give the LA Times credit for doing that story, where the hell is the rest of the legacy media admitting that this thing has been cleaned up? Good Lord. We're coming back.
Get more at 971talk.com.